I don't know about you. I'm looking for a silver lining this morning. Pete Ron, director of the Missouri Department of Transportation. Good morning. Are you there?
Good morning, John. Yes, I am.
So Barack Obama signs that stimulus bill, and Pete, you're already handing out checks?
Absolutely. We within minutes of him signing the bill, we passed out a check for $212,000.
Man, now this Osage River Bridge, that connects what and what, Pete?
Well, it runs from U.S. 54 over to Fort Leonard Wood, which is a military base.
And it's in pretty bad shape, is that right?
Oh, it's horrible shape, but built in 1933, has holes in the deck and concrete falling off the side.
Oh, man, get that baby out of here. Replacing it might just be the first project in the nation to be funded by this economic stimulus package, then.
Well, we're very confident that this is the first project that's been awarded and people put to work.
So, Pete, how much is a four-lane bridge across a mid-sized river these days? What's that going for?
Well, you know, this is a very economical bridge. We're building it for $8.5 million.
Nice. Not bad, Pete. Better get busy. The economy needs you to get started right away, so get going, all right?
That's what we're planning on doing.
$8.5 million in the books, $786 billion, $982.5 million to go. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. There's your silver lining. Daljeet Dhaliwal is in for Adora Udoji. Good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, everyone. The price tag for the auto bailout goes up, and so does job losses. Facing off with Facebook, and what are you having for breakfast right now? Well, how about some carrots instead of that cereal? Roasted carrots. What about that?
Thinking out of the box.
We've got those stories coming up and much more, but first let's get a quick check of the headlines.
Give us billions, we'll stop messing up. That's the Cliff Notes version of the restructuring plans Chrysler and GM are giving the government. Both companies want billions more in loans, and both plan to slash jobs and cut costs. General Motors is much larger than Chrysler, so the bulk of loans and cuts involve GM. Several GM models are on the chopping block. Here's Chrysler President Jim Press.
What we're going to do is the Aspen and the Durango will not restart production.
Both companies are dumping brands. The PT Cruiser, that's a Chrysler project, is going to go away. It's not just models named after Colorado cities getting the axe. If car makers want more inspiration from that state, perhaps they could consider the eastern Colorado town called Last Chance.
President Obama also has his mind out west. Yesterday, he signed the stimulus package in Denver. Today, he's in Phoenix, focused on housing. Arizona has one of the highest foreclosure rates in the country. The White House plan offers government cash to lenders to cut interest rates for people in danger of foreclosure. More than 2.3 million homeowners faced foreclosure last year.
Yeah, we'll have more details on that in a moment. 17,000 more troops going to Afghanistan. That's another big story. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Indonesia today, part of her Asian trip. And President Obama promises a major speech in a Muslim capital soon. That's an interesting story. Rough day on Wall Street yesterday, and the Dow futures are poised for a lower opening. So, with all these job losses, five plants to close, 47,000 more jobs on the chopping block, what's your take on the auto bailout at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org? Is this the end of an era, or there are just too many cars, not enough companies? There should be fewer companies. What's your take on all this? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I feel like this is an important day. I was thinking statistics, numbers, anticipating the GM and Chrysler announcements yesterday about what they need to go forward. But, you know, it really all comes down to the feeling of the 47,000 workers that GM is cutting and the others at Chrysler Corporation who all feel on pins and needles this morning. You know, you don't have to be on an auto assembly line to feel like this about your job.
You know, right now we're kind of in limbo. You try to be responsible and build a good product and hang in there and do your job.
It's a GM worker interviewed by the BBC yesterday. So with that in mind, with that sentiment in mind, let me reiterate, we want your response to what GM and Chrysler announced yesterday at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Is this the end of an industry, end of an era? Can we trust this industry with the transportation solutions that are going to be beyond cars in this century, if we're even able to get to that point? But joining us now is Nick Bunkley from the New York Times. He's a writer in Detroit covering the auto industry announcements yesterday. It was a late news conference by General Motors. Chrysler presented its plan also. It's a reconstruction plan that is supposed to demonstrate to the U.S. government that these companies are viable and worth investing more money in, and GM and Chrysler both asked for more billions. Nick Bunkley, can you set the numbers out for me? Because Rick Wagoner particularly was a little confusing in what he was really asking for versus what he's already received from the federal government.
Well, good morning. And basically the numbers come down to another $14 billion between the two companies is what they're asking for compared to what they had previously said that they would need. And for General Motors, they say that they now need a total of $30 billion, and that includes about $13.4 billion that they've gotten already. And Chrysler says they need $9 billion, which is inclusive of $4 billion that they have received already.
Now, we've already mentioned that for General Motors, five additional facilities are going to close. They're going to get rid of some brands. Chrysler's going to get rid of some brands. What is going to vanish from the showrooms and sort of auto lexicon of America as a result of what was announced yesterday?
Well, we actually still don't know yet, because some of these brands, their fate is a little bit up in the air. But it's sounding pretty likely at this point that Hummer may just be going away, because they put a pretty limited window on finding something to do with that, or it basically gets shut down at the end of March. Then there's a couple of other brands, Saab and Saturn, which Saturn was a brand that they started 20 years ago with some pretty high hopes that now, of course, may be disappearing within a couple of years because they just can't really support it anymore. And then at Chrysler, there's a couple of models that they're getting rid of, the Dodge Durango, Chrysler Aspen. Those are some big SUVs that of course, have just not been selling very well, and the plant that they were built at actually closed in December, so they haven't even been built for a couple of months.
Wow.
And then there's the Chrysler PT Cruiser, which is, I'm sure, something everyone kind of recognizes out on the road, the retro-styled car that was one of those hits that Chrysler had over the years with their design that they'd always been so well-known for.
Nick, what's your take on the thrust of the restructuring plan? Is there enough in there to satisfy the government's, is it good enough for them?
Well, I think what we need to see is actually what's going to be the response to their increased requests here for more money. GM seemed to indicate that the Treasury Department was expecting a little bit of an increase in the request, but at the same time, this is basically at least doubling the amount of money that has been given out already. There was some pending requests still in there, but to go from $17 billion that's been handed out to $39 billion. We'll have to see, if the administration thinks that's worth doing. And then, assuming that money does get handed out, it's still just such a wild card of what the market is going to be
right.
In the next couple of years.
He was saying 9.5 million units. 9.5 million units next year. That's low. And is even that reasonable?
Well, at some point, the market just has to stop going down, because you're scrapping 12.5 million or so vehicles a year, and right now we're selling at a rate below that. So you're getting rid of more cars off the roads than you're adding right now, and that just can't keep going on forever. But some of the numbers that are in these plans, as far as what they're forecasting for the next few years, are pretty sobering. I mean, Chrysler's saying essentially that there's a couple of scenarios they're taking into account. One is that this is the worst year, and then another is that this is about what it's going to be like for the next 4 years. And
wow.
And their forecast for this year is that it's going to be a 40-year low in sales, which when you account for how much the population has grown since 1969, you'd have to go even farther back to get the equivalent of what we're going through right now.
If they end up getting this extra infusion of cash that they're asking for, how long would it be for them to be viable, because they believe that they can be viable?
Right. Well, they did emphasize that that if they get this money, that they believe they can be viable. And GM, they said that they could be at a break-even point within basically 2 years and start to be profitable again. Of course, we've heard a lot of the same kind of forecasting before, that that these companies are a couple of years away from being profitable, and of course the market just dropped out on them. But they both talked about their plan being to start repaying these loans by 2012, which indicates that by then they feel they would be in enough of a position to start giving back this money.
Well, you know, Nick, it's so amazing. We're going to let you go, but they're just grasping to be a nonprofit at this point. Right now, they're little more than a charity. They're hoping to get to nonprofit. The idea of profitability, that's way out beyond the horizon. Nick Bunkley, thanks so much for setting us straight on all those numbers yesterday from Detroit. Nick Bunkley, writer for our partner, The New York Times, speaking to us from Detroit. And let's go out on the human cost here. Nick didn't even mention 47,000, it's estimated, new jobs to be lost just by General Motors alone, more thousands from Chrysler. What do workers think about that?
General Motors has been good to me, my family, and generations before me, and that's why we have like 600,000 retirees. They've been in business for 100 years. For them to fail to me would be a failure on America's part, because companies like this are the cornerstone of this country.
Hundreds of thousands of American workers, whether they work for the auto industry or not, are on pins and needles. Let's remind you of what's going on in California. A budget snag last night continues to hold tens of thousands of workers in the California state government hostage. Here's one of them right here from Sacramento.
A lot of state workers and, you know, a lot of people that come in here are being affected by it. The first Furlough Friday, we were busy, but I'm thinking that every time they have Furlough Friday, we're not going to be busy because they're not going to have money. You know?
Well, obviously, a lot of people in California are also on pins and needles. I mean, she isn't somebody who's losing her job. And that, of course, was Val Simmons, who works at the Cornerstone Restaurant in Midtown Sacramento.
Talking about Furlough Friday.
Yeah. What is Furlough Friday?
Right, well, it's when they get the notices. And already some of the notices have been sent out of people who are going to be laid off if they can't make a deal. There's a $42 billion budget gap. The other sort of pins and needles issue Barack Obama referred to yesterday in his speech, talking about people on pins and needles over their own mortgages.
We must stem the spread of foreclosures and falling home values for all Americans and do everything we can to help responsible homeowners stay in their homes. And we will need to do everything in the short term to get our economy moving again.
It's expected another $50 billion announcement from the Obama administration on just people in danger of foreclosure. Finally, Pete Ron, director of the Missouri Department of Transportation, you're still there, right?
Yes, I am.
You know, we talked at the top about how sort of symbolically important it is to get this bridge built, the number one first stimulus project in the nation. How important is that to the morale of people in Missouri who are worried about their jobs, do you think, before we go?
Well, I think it's very important. What we're talking about is putting people to work. We're going to support about 250 jobs with the project we launched yesterday, people that were being laid off by the contractor who now have jobs.
So do you see people getting smiles on their faces when they hear what you're saying?
Well, they were yesterday when we launched the project. There were a lot of happy construction workers there.
Well,
I think this is important to also demonstrate to the country that the highway industry can be a factor in addressing the problems of the recession.
Well, Pete Ron, director of the Missouri Department of Transportation, there's a great snapshot of the U.S. economy there from Missouri to Detroit and back. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253. I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.